You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, of course, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to the show. Of course, we take it from the West Coast, where I'm at, to the East Coast and bring in boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer Jr. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. Nothing like a big fight day, right?
Big fight day. But first of all, we're not going to talk about the big fight. This segment, I'm going to talk about the tragedy that took place this week. Of course, we'll talk about Felix Verdejo being arrested in Puerto Rico for kidnapping, carjacking, murdering. He killed her like three times. Felix Verdejo was a world-ranked lightweight. He lost to Mr. Nakatani, I think, in November or December. Was stopped. That was a bit of an upset. But he had lost two fights. He was 27-2, considers Puerto Rico's heir apparent about eight or ten years ago. He never reached those heights quite like some people expected of him. But the girlfriend this week, a girlfriend told him that she was pregnant. He said, okay, and he told her, that's not cool, you're pregnant, and I understand where he felt on that one, but the bottom line is he did the deed. I mean, we're talking about child support. That's all you're going to have to do is pay some child support. His wife already knew about it. His wife and his wife confronted this girl with Felix hand in hand. The three of them met like 2 months ago.
I didn't know that his wife was aware of the infidelities, and that the young lady was pregnant. Just a terrible, terrible story. Basically, three lives are lost, you know.
A lot more than three.
Right, right. The domino effect of something like that happens, you know, just the whole ripple through the family. Horrible, horrible situation. Verdejo, there's no words, you know, to say, you know, the type of person he is. And hopefully justice should be swift and it's a tragedy, man.
Well, you know, I'm not a big death penalty fan. I told you I debated the current vice president of the United States back in 1994 over the death penalty, and she beat my butt over that. I'm talking about Kamala Harris. And so I'm not all that death penalty orientated anymore, being an ex-cop. But there are certain instances in which I think a death penalty applies. And if you kidnap a girl and then you shoot some stuff into drugs into her system to try to kill her, okay? Then you handcuff her, then you throw her off a bridge, and when you throw her off the bridge and she hits the water, you shoot her three or four times with your handgun just to make sure she's double dead. You deserve the worst.
And throw into the fact a baby was in her womb.
I'm glad that you brought that up. I was saving that for last. But, yeah, here she was a mother waiting. You know, here's what she says. She says, you know, she told him, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to come after you for money or anything like that. You know, I just want to have my baby. And he said, no, that ain't going to fly that way. And, you know, I mean, listen, some guy told me this week, some guy that had cheated on his wife, and I brought it up with him because he was a cheat. He cheated on his wife a lot. Anyway, I said to him, he goes, oh, man, Pete, he goes, have you ever been in that position? That crosses your mind. I said, what do you mean that crosses your mind? You don't do it. So he was like trying to justify it, per se, or something like that. There's no justification in kidnapping and double murder.
No, there's no way you can justify that. I mean, the only excuse that you have to murder somebody, unless it's your life is on the line. At least that's how I feel. And obviously this wasn't. This was an act of cowardness. And, you know, I'm going to steal something that I saw from a mutual friend of ours, Steve Edwards, Breadman.
Mm-hmm.
He said on Twitter that, I don't remember verbatim, but that the boxing ring exposes a man's character. And Verdejo's career, whenever he faced adversity, he kind of folded.
Yeah.
And his true character did come out. You know, when this was real life adversity, you know, he didn't know how to handle it. Immaturity, selfishness, whatever you want to call it. The guy didn't know how to react. And, you know, he's, you know, tragedy all the way around.
Well, all I can say is, man, he only weighs 135 pounds. All I can do is wish a life of lots of boyfriends on him. Lots of boyfriends, maybe no death penalty, but let him live a long time and let him have a boyfriend named Bruno.
Yeah, I mean, jail is something, you know, I don't wish jail upon anybody. you know, but this is a special circumstance. You know, I hope they put him under the jail.
You know, I'm going to tell you a little jail story. I was teaching school in San Francisco as a San Francisco policeman. I had some teaching. And I was teaching street smarts, basically street skills, like a scared straight type of course in uniform. So I'm telling these kids that you don't want to go to jail because you go to jail, you get abused. And I tried to leave it at that. So the white kids were from the rich white part of San Francisco, Noe Valley, where the school was, where I went to school back in the 60s. So they were like naive to all this. And the black kids from the Hunters Point and from the Bayview said, "You mean booty busting?" And I went, "Oh, I guess so." Anyway, bottom line is I was fired. I was fired for being a little too real.
When real goes wrong.
I didn't know. Hey, listen, I mean, I didn't know what the kid said when the kid from the hood said, "You mean booty buster? What do you mean?" And I went, and then of course they went to lunch, and the black kids told to the white kids what the booty buster was all about. They went home and told their mothers. You know, I mean, sort of a, here's what's up. They shouldn't have mixed the two. I mean, I understand when they're trying to integrate the class and this and that to bring kids of color into the white neighborhood and the kind of stuff for an upscale education. Now, I'm all down with that, but the bottom line is, you know, we have totally different lifestyles there. And like one kid's some of the kids from the hood, they understand exactly what I was saying. The kids from Noe Valley, you know, they're still stumped.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that live sheltered lives, and you may be from the same state, maybe a couple of zip codes away, but it's almost like coming from Mars, you know, that type of world that some people that live in minority communities, and you compare it to someone who comes from an upscale neighborhood, believe me, it's like night and day.
We're getting off the subject here, but some lady tried to refinance her house this week in I can't remember what state it was, but she took away her house appraised for $100,000 more when the appraiser thought she was white.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. Anyway, change the subject. Edwin Valero comes to mind. Is that probably the creepiest guy in all of boxing besides Verdejo now?
Who was that?
Edwin Valero?
Edwin Valero. Wow. That was like the equivalent of Chris Benoit, in boxing. That was just a guy that his brain short-circuited. And I guess when he realized what he did, supposedly he made a suicide in jail.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
He was a WBC lightweight title holder at one point in time, and he was undefeated, and he had gotten to a motorcycle accident when he was like 8 or 9 years old, and it messed up his brain really bad. And they attributed, in fact, he couldn't get licensed here in the United States. They wouldn't license him here. He had to go to Panama or South America to get licensed. He couldn't fight here.
That's right. Yes, I remember. He was supposed to fight in Mohegan Sun.
Yeah, exactly.
On the Showtime. Yeah.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Of course, we come to you each and every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. It's 2 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, we are just hours away from Canelo Alvarez and, man, Billy Joe Sanders. Undefeated Billy Joe Sanders. Hector says he's a bum. We'll see what the PhD of boxing, Socrates Palmer, says after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Just what do you think of him as a fighter, huh?
Well, his footwork's lousy. He can't counter punch, his timing stinks, and he doesn't breathe properly.
But you like him as a person.
He has a nice smile.
He is the current god of boxing. I'm talking about Saul Alvarez. Of course, they call him Canelo because he looks like a what's that watermelon? Cantaloupe. That's the cantaloupe. Anyway, bottom line is Canelo Alvarez, of course, in action tonight, defending that world 168-pound title against a young man, of course, with a WBO title and Billy Joe Sanders. He's undefeated. Canelo's lost that one fight to Mayweather, and it had a couple of draws. But outside of that, pretty unblemished record. Of course, tonight, he is a 3.5, almost a 4-1 favorite over the unbeaten lad from the UK. Now, to bring it to analyze this fight and handicap it a little bit more. We bring in boxing's PhD once again, Socrates Palmer. And Sock, is this a 4-1 fight?
I think it sounds about right. Billy Joe Saunders, I wouldn't call him a bum like our buddy Hector did. he may be a trash human being, you know, but that's a separate, you know.
Wait, time out. If you're going to lead into that and hint on that, might as well tell the listeners and viewers what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, he has a, I have a nice sense of humor. I can laugh at a funeral, you know what I mean? Including even mine, I hope, one day. But this guy really pushes the envelope of being a troll. Yesterday during during fight week, you know, he's mocking a Mexican reporter. Then, of course, he was suspended for making light of domestic violence. He's just a guy that you wouldn't want your daughter dating. You know, put it that way. I think he's a talented fighter, and I'll leave it at that.
So, is he a guy that you want to see get beat up?
You know what? So, a friend of mine said this could be like a Greg Haugen situation. You know, when you know he kind of like got under the skin of Canelo and, you know, the Mexican fan base. I mean, yeah, I can see Billy Joe getting beat up, but Billy Joe has some game. You know, I got to give the devil his due. Billy Joe's a very solid fighter. He looks, at least aesthetically, like he's in great shape for this fight. He better be, the fight of his life. And he's going to have to fight to win this. He's not going to win a decision on his fight, in my opinion. I don't think I'm breaking new ground. I mean, to beat Canelo Alvarez, you better beat him pretty soundly. You know, you can ask if it was Lani Lara or Triple G that.
Okay. So what we know what Canelo brings to the dance. We've seen his resume and his forte and all his various weapons. What does Billy Joe Saunders bring to the dance besides that O and the WBO title?
I think he brings a southpaw stance. I think he's got decent hand speed. He's got good footwork. And he can crack a little bit, you know. Billy Joe Saunders he comes from that same culture of Tyson Fury, that gypsy culture, very macho. And he's going to have to put his cojones on the line to win this fight. You know, he's going to have to do what his idol did, Tyson Fury, and not just talk the talk, but be able to walk the walk tomorrow. He's going to have to bring it to Canelo. And the whole controversy about the ring and not coming in, I think just mind games. There was no way he was going to forfeit the biggest payday of his career over the size of a ring.
It was a 22-foot square ring. I hadn't seen a 22-foot square ring in a while. Was there a reason why there's 22? I mean, obviously that sounds like the promoters put that together because they're in charge of putting the ring up.
All that stuff is in the contract. Am I right or wrong, Pedro?
It's usually in the contract, but, you know, Roberto Duran and those guys pulled up. They screwed up with that Sugar Ray Leonard rematch. They gave him a 24-foot square ring. It was like boxing somebody in my backyard.
Maybe the pages got stuck together, you know, when they missed that. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you have a good lawyer to review your paperwork, you know, that type of stuff doesn't necessarily slip through the cracks. I thought that was just a lot of mind games. I didn't think that the threat of pulling out was real at all, you know, and just, I think Canelo did the right thing. He blew it off. I think he told him that he would fight him if they opened up the entire Texas Stadium. So, you know, AT&T Park.
Okay, so you talked about Greg Haugen. Of course, Greg Haugen against Julio Cesar Chavez down there in Mexico City. We said that Chavez beat up on a bunch of Mexican cab drivers. And he did. But that's not saying that he wasn't a good fighter as well. Okay, and I think Canelo's obviously at the top of his game now, or pretty close to the top of his game, having held titles at 175, beating Sergey Kovalev, stopping him inside the distance, of course, winning titles at 168, 160, and 154. The lone blemish on his record, of course, the 12-round loss to Floyd Mayweather back when he was real green. You know, the Mayweather people, every time I see a knock on Canelo, I say to myself, is this a black guy? And it turns out it's a black guy. What is it the African-American boxing fan has against Canelo? They seem to despise him.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I could say something a little controversial, but I mean, we've always talked about the great rivalries in boxing is Mexico versus Puerto Rico and Mexico and Philippines. Latino fighters and black fighters is the ultimate rivalry in the ring, okay? And that's even if you step into a local gym, you smell that beef, okay? And maybe it's because of the fact that Floyd Mayweather is an admired fighter, but he's never, ever going to be a loved fighter. He's never going to have a country behind him, you know? And that's something that Manny Pacquiao has, something that Canelo Alvarez has, Roberto Duran, Julio César Chávez, that power of having a whole nation being Team Canelo is something Mayweather will never have. And maybe there's some sort of jealousy.
Speaking, you mentioned Mike Tyson there. He said that he would much rather watch a Pac-Man fight than a Mayweather fight. Mayweather went through the roof on that and tried to call him out. I mean, he's calling out the former heavyweight champion of the world. Now he's fighting, what, a YouTube guy?
Yeah. And growing a beard. I mean, what was that? Did you see what he looked like? Oh my God!
No, listen. The Floyd thing, and me and Larry are on the same page as far as Floyd's concerned. The action starts when the bell rings. The action stops when the bell rings.
Absolutely. I don't want to sound like a player hater, but he might be the worst thing to happen in boxing in the last 30 years. You know, he's just not good for the sport. You know, I understand he brings attention and. And if I'm a fighter on the B side of him, I love it, of course, because I'm cashing in the biggest payday. But in terms of the growth of the sport, he's the guy's bad news. He's in this circus, you know, against the Paul brothers. And, you know, I'm just going to ignore it. Maybe it'll go away, but, you know, I will watch. You know, okay. I'll be a hypocrite, and I'll watch when the fight comes on.
Okay, looks like Canelo and Billy Joe Sanders are about to break an attendance record down there. We'll see what happens with that. Want to mention this. Got to bring up Hector again. And both Hector and Larry sort of question the intestinal fortitude of Ryan Garcia. Are they right to question his intestinal fortitude? I mean, Hector's had anxiety. I've had anxiety. Larry says he's never had anxiety in his life. But then again, Larry's never drinking. He's never drank a cup of coffee in his life ever. He's 90 years old. Never had a cup of coffee.
Larry Merchant doesn't drink coffee?
Never had. Well, does he sound like he's all amped up on coffee to you?
No. Larry's a very chill. Speaking of Larry, I miss the Godfather on the radio, on the TV airways, man. He's sorely missed.
Well, once I get this Twitch thing together as far as Zoom and all that kind of concerns, we'll have the Godfather on the live stream face-to-face. You too.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I got to make sure I get a haircut every week now.
Like John Gotti?
Hey, the Teflon Don.
Did you know he got a haircut once a week?
Yes, I did hear that.
And you know, that would sort of tell me if I wanted to hit John Gotti, I would wait at the barbershop.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, maybe back then when cell phones, there were no cell phones back then, and locations and... But John, you know what, John? If there was Instagram, I think back then, John,
you know,
John,
I think
was not shy.
I happen to think you're right on that one. You know, I saw him at a fight at the Garden. I think one time. No, I did see him at the Garden one time. And then one time I met Joey Merlino in Atlantic City after hours party after Mercer. Tommy Morrison fight. So I saw Joey Merlino, the head of the Philadelphia mob, and all the these guys. I was freaking out. I said to myself, I told the girl I was with, I said, "You don't know who that guy is."
Yeah.
And you know what she tells me? He looks like some skinny punk. What are you scared of him for? I went, she goes, "You're a boxer." I go, "Shut up."
Ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Right? Ignorance is bliss. All right, let's get a quick prediction before I let you go.
Canelo Alvarez by decisive decision. I think that Billy Joe Saunders will get hit early and then decide to conserve his boxing livelihood by not staying in the pocket. And he'll go comfortable and quietly into the night. I don't see him being able to take Canelo.
Good enough. Yeah. Socrates Palmer, of course, boxing's PhD appears exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Soc, have a good week.
You too, my brother. Enjoy. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. That's right. The PhD of boxing, Socrates Palmer, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
There's only one Mayweather.
He must know that I'm not like no other fighter. I can give it, and I can take it.
There's only one Mayweather.
I've been here before. I know what it takes. I don't want no excuses. So I'm just going out there and be the same Floyd Mayweather. I've been here before, and I know what it takes.
He talks the talk, and he walks the walk.
When it's lights, camera, action, it's time to give the fans entertainment. The fans want to be entertained. I mean, when I'm home, I'm like anyone else.
Walking to the money land.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Woo!